96.5 Wave FM. G'day, it's Trav with you. Mostly fine today. We're chasing a top of 17. I've thought a lot about this over the last 20 hours or so. The fear that those who were entangled in yesterday's London terror attack must have felt.
The area's being evacuated. We have all been told to stay inside, keep the doors locked. Police are all over the streets.
No, they're telling them to move. They're telling them to get out.
It's incomprehensible, and unfortunately, it's the third time that the UK has been hit in as many months. We're heading to London now with 7 News European correspondent Hugh Whitfield. Hugh, you've been following this since it broke yesterday morning, mate. What's the go this morning?
Well, Trav, we're just at the top of London Bridge on the north side of the Thames. This is where the van began its murderous journey across the Thames just on 24 hours ago now. And then the three men jumped out and went on this stabbing rampage. We know 7 people were killed. 21 people remain in a critical condition in hospital, so the fear is that death toll will rise. 2 Australians were injured, including a 31-year-old Queensland woman, or originally from Queensland, Candice Hedge. Now, she suffered knife wounds to her neck. She was sitting having dinner with her boyfriend in a restaurant at Borough Market when she was attacked. Fortunately, the knife has managed to miss all major arteries and her throat and things like that, but she can't talk at the moment. She's still in hospital. Here in London, her parents are potentially looking at coming over to see her here. The other Aussie who was injured, a bloke from Darwin, he was one of the walking wounded. He was also possibly nicked by one of the knives in the neck as well, and he was treated by paramedics at the scene but able to go home. He's looking to race home now back to Australia. So, yeah, a devastating outcome for so many families and people who are out on a fun night here in London.
And, Hugh, we believe that British police have made 12 arrests.
They've carried out a number of raids, most notably at Barking, which is in the east end of London. They have gone through a property on the ground floor of a block of apartments seemingly connected to at least one of the terrorists, so they seem to know who at least one of them are. 12 people arrested, including a number of women. Having said that, usually in these sort of situations, like we saw in Manchester, they go in and arrest a whole heap of people, detain them so that they can be questioned for a number of days to work out exactly what they know. Obviously, the big focus for police is trying to work out, were there other people as part of this terrorist cell who knew what these three men were going to do? Clearly, there was a conspiracy among the three men who did it, but did anybody else help them, and what did others know, including their family and friends?
Hugh, we've seen 3 attacks now on the UK in as many months. Manchester only a couple of weeks ago, where 21 people lost their lives. Of course, we've witnessed what happened yesterday morning on London Bridge and at the Borough Market. Are there questions being asked of British intelligence?
Well, there's clearly been some British intelligence failings. I think, though, certainly failings when you look at Manchester. It's tough, though, with an attack like this. Anyone can get a van. Anyone can buy some knives. If there were guns involved, yep, sure, then that would be, you could probably have a go at the intelligence community. But anyone can get together with 2 others and go and buy some knives, get a van and go and do something like this, unfortunately. Having said that, the speed with which police track down this bloke's address in Barking suggests that they knew who at least one of these guys were before, and there is at least one witness who's told the BBC here that he called the terror hotline about one of these attackers. But police here have got a massive job. They've got about 3,000 people that they've been watching for Islamic radicalisation. So they can't go out and lock up 3,000 people. They've been trying to work in communities to try and de-radicalise people. But seemingly, it hasn't worked in this situation. Now, the Prime Minister, Theresa May, she's got a big job as well, because she, when she was in charge of police under David Cameron's government, she cut 20,000 police officers. So there are questions about her commitment to it. And then the opposition leader here, Jeremy Corbyn, well, he's been accused of being a terrorist sympathiser because in the past he's met a lot with IRA leaders, and they're about to go head-to-head in an election here on Thursday. So it's very much charged.
Hugh, you travel around Europe. You go to, unfortunately, some horrific events. You spend a lot of time in London. Does what happened yesterday change the way you approach normal life when you're not working over there?
No, but having said that, I'll give you an example. This afternoon, after staying up all night as part of our coverage yesterday, I went home and had a quick kip. And there was some shouting outside my window. Now, I live in a very busy retail area, and it's not unusual for me to hear shouting or, you know, smashing bottles at night and that sort of thing, because there's a lot of pubs nearby.
Yep.
But there was a whole heap of shouting and people yelling at each other, and I don't know what they were saying, but I immediately thought, what on earth is going on out there? Is this something again? I've never thought that before when I've been lying in my bed. My bedroom's right over the top of this walkway.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe my attitude is changing. It hasn't yet. I feel safe in London, undoubtedly. Clearly you make sensible decisions about what you do, but it's not going to stop me travelling. People should just be cautious, aware, well-informed, know what they're doing.
Rightio, and you'll keep us informed on 7 News right across today and tonight from 6. Hugh Whitfield, thank you.
Thanks, Trav. Cheers, mate.